Hello, everyone, and welcome to Vision and Voices, a podcast where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. My name is James Nguyen. I'm your host of the Vision and Voices podcast. And today we have Miss Deanna Mason with us. Deanna comes to us and who is really has about 5 years experience in the intellectual disabilities field. Of course, March is Intellectual Disability, Developmental Disability Month. And Deanna is here with us today. How are you, Deanna?
I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to be here, and thank you for having me.
Okay. I saw you corrected me. It's 8 years experience?
It's 8 years. I've been with VOA for 5 years.
Okay. So VOA, Volunteers of America, Chesapeake.
Yes.
You've been there for 5 years. What's that like?
It's been an amazing experience. I've absolutely have grown in ways I didn't realize that I could grow in since mm-hmm. I've been here. I love helping people. I have a passion for this field, and which is why I've stayed with Volunteers of America Chesapeake for 5 years. It's a great company to work for.
Great. And this field, intellectual disabilities, this is not easy work.
Not at all.
So tell me more about it. I know that there is some, I don't want to say division, but there's some distinction between intellectual disabilities and developmental disabilities. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, absolutely. With intellectual disabilities, you're diagnosed before the age of 18 years okay. old. With developmental disabilities, you do have some limitations in your intellectual abilities, such as your language, cognitive skills, and you need some supports. And that's something that could come after the age of 18 years of age.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So a developmental disability could happen later in life.
Right.
And
it could be a mental impairment or a physical disability.
You bring up a great point, mental. Do these folks that have intellectual or developmental disability, do they often have mental health issues as well?
Not 100% of the time, but it's not unusual for someone with intellectual disability to also have a mental disability as well.
What would that look like?
Someone may have schizophrenia, severe anxiety, bipolar disorder, things like that, personality disorder, borderline, those types of things you would often see.
Is that a result of the intellectual disability, or is that just kind of co-occurring along with it?
It can co-occur. It's not necessarily a result of having intellectual disability, because you can have these types of things and not mm-hmm. have an intellectual disability in addition to.
Okay, I got you.
If that
I
makes
got
sense.
You. So it doesn't mean that, you know, if you have intellectual disability, you're automatically going to develop major depression or
Absolutely.
Anything like that.
Correct.
But that could happen.
That could happen.
What type of care do you provide to folks with intellectual disability?
So in our program, we offer services in our group home, supportive living, which is our, we have people with intellectual disabilities who live in our apartment homes. And we also provide in-home supports for people with intellectual disabilities.
What does that mean? In-home support versus mm-hmm. support caring? What is
okay. So we have our group homes where we have individuals who live in their home. That's their home, essentially, and there's five or could be six people that live in one group home.
Okay.
And we have DSP, direct support professionals, who come into the home to provide supports with for the people that we're supporting, essentially. And our supervised living is a more of a smaller living situation, so it's three people or less.
Okay.
And we would still provide 24 hours of support to those people who live in their own apartments.
Gotcha.
And then in our in-home supportive services program, we have people with intellectual disabilities who live on their own but need some supports, but maybe not a whole 24 hours a day of supports. So we may go in and provide maybe 3 hours a day. Some people may need up to 10 hours a day. It varies depending on their needs.
Okay, I want to just back up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You said 5 to 6 people living in
a
home.
Mm-hmm.
Do they each have their own room?
Yes.
How is that set up?
Yeah, so each person has their own room, and they have access to everything in the home, essentially, because it's their home.
Okay. And then there's a staff person in the home. Is that 24/7? Because you said some folks don't need 24-hour mm-hmm. help.
In a group home and in our supervised living arrangement, there is 24-hour supports. So we do have staff who come into the home and they work different shifts and they provide those supports that are needed to the people that live in their homes.
Okay. I want to get into more of the specifics of what that might look like.
Okay.
I know that some people out in the community may see someone with an intellectual or developmental disability, clearly not knowing the difference, just understanding that people act strangely or differently than most, and they may see that person and be afraid of them or have some anxiety about approaching them. What type of support do you provide? What type of help does a person like that need day to day, such that it would require someone to kind of monitor and support them 24 hours a day?
Okay. In the community, we like to call it community integration. Okay. And community integration is very important because it is a way for us to educate the community on what intellectual disability and developmental disabilities really look like. And also to kind of, I would say, I don't know exactly the word that I'm looking for right now, but to get people in the community a different mindset and a different view, and not necessarily see
acclimate them.
Yeah, acclimate them, and not necessarily see a person with an intellectual disability look different. Mm-hmm. You know, because they all have the same hopes and dreams, just like any of us do. It may just be they may need a little bit more support just to kind of get to their hopes and dreams.
Okay.
So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're different or unusual. Obviously, you can physically see a difference, but their hopes and dreams and desires, it doesn't change from any other person in the community.
Okay, I got you. Now, mm-hmm. Now, how do people come to live in the group home? Where are these folks who come from an institution of some sorts, or are families referring their adult children now directly to you, or do you work with children? Or
no, at this time we only support adults.
Okay.
With intellectual disabilities. But for someone to receive services from us, would have to have a Medicaid waiver, and most of the people that have Medicaid waivers have what's called a support coordinator. Okay. Essentially, which is also the case manager. And when someone wants placement, maybe they live at their homes already with their families, and maybe their families want them to be more independent and say, okay, well, now I think it's time for my loved one to transition to a group home or a more independent living setting. And so when at that point someone will reach out to us, we do an intake and an assessment and see, make sure that there's someone that we can support, because we always want people to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go from there.
When you say make sure it's someone we can support, what does that mean? Are there folks who are ineligible for whatever reason, barring a Medicaid mm-hmm. waiver?
Yeah, so because our homes are staffed with a certain amount of staff and we have to stay in a certain amount of a ratio, if someone has...
What's that number?
Mm-hmm. So we look at it as like a 3-to-1 ratio or a 4-to-1 ratio, depending on the needs of the individual. And when I say needs, you have people who have more behavioral issues where they need more additional supports, or some people may have higher medical needs where they may need some additional supports.
Okay.
So if our group homes are staffed for a certain ratio, and this particular individual may need 2 staff to 1 person, they may not be someone at that time that we could support.
Understood. So your ratio is 3 people with disabilities
mm-hmm.
per 1 staff
Correct.
Person. So
mm-hmm.
in a home that has 6, then you've got
2 staff
24 hours a day.
Well, that's a little bit different. We have okay. 2 staff during the waking hours.
Okay.
But then overnight, most of our folks that we support are sleeping, so we have 1 staff during the overnight hours.
Got you.
Okay.
Got you. And then in terms of the specific types of support, what does that mean? Do you have to cook for them, clean for them? Do you need to bathe them? Do you need, Are you teaching them how to tie shoes? What does that mean?
And those are really great questions, because a lot of the times when we're hiring people, we look for people who have what's called, we consider the teacher's brain versus what's called the nursing brain. Okay. And a lot of the times we have people who come in with maybe a nursing mentality, and nothing's wrong with that, but how they think is we do everything for them. Right. But when you're a teacher brain and you're coming in as a staff person, which is essentially what we look for, you have, you're teaching the individuals how to be as independent as possible. So we don't necessarily cook for them, but we support them and we teach them how to cook for themselves, how to make them their own beds, how to dress themselves, how to shower independently. And kind of, it's a teaching process.
Got you. So you're, these are folks whom, and what about institutions? Are they coming from institutions or no?
Not all the time.
Not all the time. Sometimes home with their families.
Yes.
And then they're coming to live with you, and the families, for whatever reason, are saying, you know, it's time for you to kind of be more independent.
Correct.
And you're teaching them to be independent, mm-hmm. whereas at home, maybe mom or dad or whoever was at home with them tied their shoes and showed them how to dress and all of those things and actually cooked for them. You're saying, okay, I'm going to show you how to do this. Mm-hmm. Why do they need that? What is it about intellectual disabilities or developmental disabilities that doesn't allow a person to learn to do those things, quote unquote, normally?
Mm-hmm. Right? So it's not to say that that families and parents don't teach their loved ones how to do those things. You do have really great, amazing families, which are super important relationships. Mm-hmm. It's just most times families look at their loved ones differently than how we will look at them, in a sense of they want to make sure that they're okay all the time and that, you know, we're helping them every step of the way, as opposed to when they come into a group home when we're having more of a teaching environment where we would say, okay, you know, you've learned these basics, but let's take it a step further and teach you maybe how to count your own money and do certain things. Because when you have family members, they're the ones who've raised them, seen them their whole entire lives, which is a super amazing resource for us because it helps us learn them a lot more, what their abilities are, what you know, they need more help with, what things, trial and error, have they done with them. And so we take that information and we try to take it a step further and say, okay, and look out and think outside the box for them. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. So you're taking it a step further. It's mm-hmm. kind of like maybe if you didn't have a disability, you know, you're going off to college mm-hmm. or into the military and then learning to be an independent person in those ways, or, you know, you go get a job or whatever it is. Can these folks work? Can they, you know, work in a normal job, so to speak? Or can they, you talked about showing them how to count money and things like that. Can they handle finances? Can they do that?
Absolutely. You have some people who are very smart. Being that you have an intellectual disability, you do have some limitations, yes, but there are strengths that they exhibit in other areas as well. We have someone that we support right now. I mean, every time you walk into a room, she's so happy. She's so excited. Like she's hugging everyone and she just kind of make you feel, you know, great. And it's so crazy because she doesn't speak, but you feel that energy from her. You know what I mean? And when you walk in, you're like, oh, man, like you just feel so loved because she's like running to you and she's hugging you. So for someone like that who has that skill, we would try to find them some type of appointment that exhibit that skill, essentially, that she has.
How many people do you support?
I think right now we're at 48 individuals in our throughout our organization with our group homes and home supports and supervised living.
And 48, of those 48 folks, are all of them employed? Is that the goal, to get them employed, to have them be independent?
Everyone is not employed. A lot of our the people that we support go to day programs, or they do have paid jobs. Mm-hmm. The goal, yes, is to ensure that everyone receives employment at some point. And that's what the state of Virginia is essentially moving towards.
Got you. Now, what does that look like? Can they be tax accountants? or, you know, it's what types of jobs do they work?
Yeah, it's whatever their skill sets are. We have someone currently working at a Pizza Hut. We have people who work at thrift stores. Mm-hmm. So they kind of do the sorting and things at thrift stores. We've had people who work in mail rooms. We have individuals who work for cleaning companies. So there's a plethora of things that people can do in the community.
Great. And then you support them in that as well. So you also have employment specialists on staff or?
We do not have what's considered an employment specialist on our staff, but people that attend day programs during the day, they receive those supports at a day program.
Okay. So you refer them out to get additional help with employment.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that the public should know when they encounter someone with intellectual disability or developmental disability?
I would say that everyone that you come across who has an intellectual disability, they're people just as much as you are. Mm-hmm. They have needs like any of us do. They have desires just like any one of us do. They may not express certain things the same way that we do, but you may see someone who has a behavior in a community and they may not be able to vocally say my stomach's hurting or my ear is hurting, but how they exhibit certain behaviors, maybe screaming. They may say I'm uncomfortable in a loud environment or I'm having a pain somewhere that I'm trying to communicate and I want you to hear that. You know what I mean? So right. I would say, when you encounter those types of things in the community, just understand that there's something that's being communicated.
Right. So it's not anything that people should be afraid of.
Not at all. Okay. Not at all.
Do people with intellectual disability or developmental disability, are they typically violent people?
No. Not at all. Not at all. I mean, you have people who do display, again, some behaviors where they're trying to communicate something that maybe we aren't really not seeing or the people in the community aren't really seeing or hearing because they communicate a little bit differently and that we all communicate in different ways. Even as a verbal person like myself, I communicate differently than maybe you would communicate something.
Right, right. But not violent and not anything that the general public should be afraid of.
Absolutely.
If someone has a family member or has a friend or a friend of a friend who has a disability, how should they go about getting them help to get them into a program such as yours?
Well, they can always call our program and speak to the program director, and we'll give that information to anyone who needs it.
What's the phone number?
That's 703-497-9320, and just ask for the program director, and someone can direct your call to the appropriate person. You guys can also visit our website at voachesapeake.org.
Okay. And then and they can get at least information.
Correct.
About how to get help for someone with an intellectual and developmental disability.
Yes.
I want to move on and talk about Developmental Disabilities Month. What does that mean? Are there programs? Are there celebrations? What happens during the month of March?
It's just a month to recognize people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, recognize their strengths, recognize the great things and the great contributions that they contribute to the community like the rest of us. Mm-hmm. And one thing that we do as a program with Volunteers of America Chesapeake in our Northern Virginia area is we do an annual talent show.
Oh.
And so every year, this year is going to be our sixth annual talent show. So we've been doing it for 6 years now, and it's been mm-hmm. super great. You have the opportunity to exhibit all of the great artwork that our individuals do that we support. We have people who make jewelry, and this year they want to sell their jewelry.
Oh wow!
Because they put a lot of time and effort in creating bracelets, necklaces, earrings, and we'll have those out for display this year. We'll have people who are going to be doing poetry, singing, dancing. There's going to be a skit as well. We actually have one of our staff members now who's actually DJing the show.
Oh wow!
So it's going to be a great experience.
What's the date of that?
This is March 17th, and it's from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And the location?
This is 15940 Donald Curtis Drive in Woodbridge, Virginia, and it's at the Fralazzo Building.
Okay. And can they get that from the website as well? Can they go to the website and get information?
We can post it on the website, or if you need any additional information about the show, just call the number that I provided, which is the 703-497-9320.
Okay, great, great. Now, I want to back up on that. So these folks are entrepreneurial. They want to sell jewelry that they made?
They want to sell their jewelry that they made. Absolutely.
Is that typical?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay.
And we try to encourage them, you know, because they should be able to, you know, not, I mean, they put a lot of work and effort in their stuff. They pay for the material. They should receive a return for
right,
the things
right.
that they've
absolutely,
done.
Absolutely.
We try to encourage them to absolutely, you know, and it gives them a sense of independence. They created it. Now they are in a situation where they could essentially make a profit from the things that they've done.
Right. So they're able to capitalize on that.
Absolutely.
Wow, that's really interesting because you typically don't think of people with developmental disability as artists, as poets, as singers, or anything
dancers.
Like that. Yeah, yeah. So, and is that part of your program? Do you help and encourage? Because I heard you talk about gifts and talents, and you talked about a person who couldn't speak and giving hugs, and you spoke to that as it being a talent or gift.
Mm-hmm.
Is that part of the program to help people to realize what their talents are?
Yes, yes, yes. And we just want also the people we support to be able to establish or show everyone else what they're capable of. And they work so hard. They practice all year round to learn the words to a song, or to learn the words to a poem, to learn a dance to a song, to learn parts to a skit. And this is an opportunity for them to showcase all of the great things they do all year, and that all of the things they've been practicing, and how our staff has supported them and shown them how to do certain things. So this is just that opportunity for them.
Right. That's great. Could you give us the details on that event again?
Okay, so this is going to be on March 17th. It's from 5 to 9 p.m. And try to get there at 5 o'clock because we serve everyone, all of our guests, refreshments. We have cookies and sandwiches and salads and fruit and
so
all of that
get
lovely
there early
stuff.
For
yeah,
that.
You got to get there early because, you know, we love to eat in Northern Virginia. But that's a good way to kind of for everyone to mix and mingle with all of the talents that's going to be on the show that day as well. And it's going to be at the Fralazzo Building in Woodbridge, Virginia. The address is 15940 Donald Curtis Drive.
Okay. All right. Great. Now, is there anything else? So you're having this celebration to honor folks with disability and in Developmental Disability Month. And are there other events going on in Northern Virginia or in the Chesapeake region, Maryland, Washington, D.C.? Any other events that you know of? Or are there any special honorings perhaps by, you know, local governments or anything like that?
As of right now, I can't really speak to that. But I just want to reiterate our annual talent show.
Yeah, go ahead.
But there are, like, I can't really speak to other, you know, things that are going on.
Right.
But we do a great award ceremony also at the end of the show. So everyone that performed gets a really nice certificate for their participation as well.
Good, good, good. And now, is there a clear winner? Do you judge the show?
No, everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Everyone's a winner.
Has to be, right? Right. So what else can you tell us about your program and the people you serve that would help people to understand better what this population might even look like and how they can help?
As a community, how you can help is we're always looking for qualified direct support professionals who love working with people.
You explained that a little bit,
uh-huh.
but tell me what that means, because you said qualified.
What qualifies you is you have like having some experience in the field of human services and working with people with developmental disabilities. You don't necessarily have to have experience. Also, if you're in a position where you just kind of want to get into the field, we have what's called the direct support assistant or aide, where you will receive some additional trainings to kind of get you to where you need to be to learn exactly what developmental and intellectual disabilities are. And our leadership team will conduct those trainings. And we just look for people who are willing to work and honor our mission and our values as volunteers of America Chesapeake.
Understood. And when you say willing to work, it's not easy work, I'm guessing.
No, it's not easy work. There definitely are challenges, and it definitely takes a special person. And when you have the heart and the passion to work with people, then it becomes easy for you.
Okay. And what might be some of the challenges, just so people know? Hey, I can go do this. I like people. I mean, you know, what might a person expect?
Well, you have to be innovative, and you have to be able to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so when you have a person who, and can I just give an example
really
quickly?
Yes.
So we've had, we used to work with a guy, young man, he loves to sing. You know, that's, you know, his favorite thing to do is to sing.
Mm-hmm.
And he sometimes has some behaviors where he may get upset, and he displays his upset ways differently than maybe I would, you know?
What are they?
He may yell, scream, may say a few curse words and things like that.
Okay.
However, we had a staff who was really great. He was actually a teacher, and he came in, and he was like, well, what can I do to help this guy out? You know, mm-hmm. I know he loves to sing. I know he's a people person, and I know he loves Chris Brown. What can I do?
Mm-hmm.
And so what he did was he tapped into his own personal resources, and he had a friend who's essentially works in a music studio, and he actually brought this young man to the studio, and he was able to record a CD.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it was a major thing for him. I mean, every time I seen him, he's like, oh yeah, I made a CD, like I'm an artist now, you know, and it empowered him.
Yes, yes. And then that obviously built rapport with the staff person.
Absolutely. He developed trust for this person. He was able to openly communicate better with this particular staff person because he felt heard.
Right, right. And it probably reduced some of the outbursts and expletives as well. Okay. Well, that's great. So how else can the community help you? How else can people support your program?
Well, if you are willing or interested in working with adults with intellectual disabilities, you can always visit our website and apply at voachesapeake.org.
Okay. And what about donations, volunteers?
We do take donations.
Of course.
So, yes, we do take donations. And again, if you wanted to donate and to help and support in that way, you can also visit our website.
Okay. And the website again is?
voachesapeake.org.
Thank you, Deanna Mason, for being on the show today. We really appreciate it. And I'd like to encourage everyone out there, if you'd like to hear more of Deanna's story, to please listen to our podcast on Dragon Radio. We are part of the Howard County Community College Network. And we encourage you to listen to all of the shows on Vision and Voices and all of the shows on Dragon Radio. My name is James Nguyen. I am your host of Vision and Voices, where ordinary people are doing extraordinary work in your neighborhood. Thank you for listening.